Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth and will not treat the wonderful people of our country with the respect that they deserve.
That is President Trump, who held a press conference today, getting ready to announce his new Labor Secretary pick, and then held an impromptu circus. I think that was the best way to describe that. It was part circus, part pantomime, Saturday Night Live skit. Like that was the, it was, I'm going to answer every question I can. If I don't like your question, I'm going to tell you about how I don't like your question. I may even tell you how I don't like you. And hell, I may challenge you to like some Indian wrestling. I don't know. But whatever happened today, I have never in my life seen anything. He put some people on blast. He's a good way to describe that. You've got a long way to go, Mr. President. And I respect the office and I respect Donald. I think he's got some ideas that I think are going to be great for this country. I think at times he is abrasive. I think at times he is still getting his sea legs, if you will, as president of the United States. I don't buy into everything the media says, but I will tell you this. It was a bit of a circus today, and there's no love affair. There is a love affair with what President Trump brings as far as eyeballs on the television screen. But like everything, that can be a little bit much. I talked to a couple people yesterday who told me, I'm done with politics. I'm over the, he goes, as much as it's politics, I'm over the inside of politics and the people. It's already boring me. But today was it. I've never, ever seen anything like this. It was all over the place. He answered a bunch of questions. He was everything that he was out on the campaign trail. He was in your face. He was Donald Trump. What did you expect? And I think so many people expected that. Okay, well, he's president now, so he's going to change things up. He's going to be a little bit more, they're going to rein him in a little bit. He's not going to have to worry about, trying to become the commander-in-chief because he is. So he can, he can bring back that rhetoric a little bit. He can tone it down a little bit. He's not. In fact, I think at times he's ramped it up. He is pushing back. He is taking on all comers, whether it's the judicial, whether it's the media, whether it's other politicians. This guy is going at it at 100 miles an hour. And the people that voted for him love it. The people that voted for him love it. The Democrats love it because it gives them a great villain to go up against. Let's be real. If this was John Kasich, they're having a tougher time going up against John Kasich, right? This is Marco Rubio. Even if it's Ted Cruz. But man, he just goes. He don't care. He don't give a rat's ass. And I think some of that's good. We get lost in this beltway crap. That's the stuff I tell you to avoid. This stuff is exciting at times. It's funny. It's becoming a reality show. I think there's some good things behind what Trump's doing. But I think it's in some of the other stuff, I think, again, it's a pantomime. It's a parody. I thought today I'm watching, I'm like, wow, Saturday Night Live has really got Donald Trump down good. Some of these reporters looked like the real deal. But Trump was being Trump because that's what Trump does. He went out there, he hit him hard, he answered questions, he didn't shy away from anything, and he's not afraid to talk back. And we've never seen anything like this. So it is, what is this? What is this? You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to call on me, and then I'm supposed to ask you a question, and then you answered, and then you move on to somebody else. You're not supposed to berate me and then answer the question. Trump talks about what he walked in to when he got to the White House.
I inherited a mess. It's a mess. At home and abroad. A mess.
Yeah. Look, I think the last of the presidents that didn't inherit some sort of mess was Bush, right? Bush didn't inherit a massive mess. He had money in the bank. Now, in saying that, Bush got what none of the other ones did, which was 9/11. So that wipes out any of that, oh, you inherited loveliness because you got 9/11. So 9/11 changed the face of everything. I think we realize that. But it's your ship now. This is what it is. It is your ship. You are the captain. You are the admiral. You have your... This is what you are. You wanted this. You're the commander-in-chief. You're the president. You may have inherited a mess, but that's why we put you there, because we want different eyes than we normally have, which was Beltway people looking at things the way Beltway people do and not as America first. And that's what you promised us. And you're doing the things you said you were going to do. You were trying to hold people accountable. You are having some missteps. You've got some people, I think, who are in over their head. But God willing, they're going to run into it. And by that, I mean, eventually, they're going to get their legs and they're going to run and they're going to catch up and it's going to be okay. Today was one of those things where he has decided that the media and him are going to do this in a sparring way. And it's going to happen. Now, you catch more flies with honey. I think there's a better way to do it. But I think the way he looks at it is, I know who got me here. I'm here for them. I'm going to do all I can to do the things I said I was going to do. And I don't need you guys to do it because I have Twitter. I'm a big picture guy. I'll get the minutia people around me and we'll push it all through. He's not a minutia guy. And by that, I mean, he's big picture. He looks at things abroad. I want this. Let's do it. I don't know how we're going to do it. We'll get the other people to figure out how we get it done, but let's do this. I got a vision. But you got to surround yourself with the right people. But the media is going to be on him for the next 4 years. And the more that you shy away from things, the more that you push away from things, the more that you do things like this, the more of a problem you're going to have fighting off the media. I'm not saying you can't get in their face every once in a while, because everybody who's ever done an interview, you ask any athlete, any star in any kind of industry, you ask any kind of person that's worked in just name it. I mean, you go to CEOs, to superstar athletes, to superstar entertainers, to anybody. All of them, to a person, will tell you that there are issues sometimes with the media. You spend an entire day with the media, and they come out with something that you just scratch your head about. Because you're like, that's not what I said, or I did say that, but you cut out the other minute behind it, and you've taken this and you've put it in such a way. So yes, I did say that, but not the way that it is portrayed. So I get that. But ask somebody like Richard Nixon what the media can do for you and what it can do against you. Ask President Obama what it can do for you, because it helped him a lot. It did. He continues on being the Trumpster.
We have made incredible progress. I don't think there's ever been a president elected who in this short period of time has done what we've done.
Well, I don't think so either. Not at the breath at which he's doing it. I mean, it's hard to find a president that has made this much noise, caused this much controversy, and pushed through this many things as fast as he has. You ask anybody who's in the, you know, in the political game, have you seen anything like this? Maybe to a person, they will say, nope, never anything like this. Never anything like this. During this press conference today, and again, it was part circus, part pantomime, part improv, and part Trump being Trump. During this, a woman by the name of April Ryan, who has been around forever in a day. She's a journalist. She works with American Urban Radio. She's well-known in D.C., well-known in the African-American community, in the urban community. She asked a question, and Trump, his reaction is pure Trump.
Am I going to include?
Are
who?
You going to include the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional?
Well,
Hispanic
I would.
Caucus,
I tell you what. Do you want to set up the meeting? Do you want to set up the meeting?
No.
Are they friends of yours?
I'm just a reporter.
Set up the meeting.
I know some of them, but I'm sure.
Let's go set up
right
a meeting.
Now.
I would love to meet with the Black Caucus. I think it's great. The Congressional Black Caucus. I think it's great.
That is just Trump right there. Are you friends with him? Like all Black people know each other. Are you friends with him? Do you know them? First, he said this just because, are you going to meet with the CBC? And he's like, who's the CBC? Like, is that the Canadian Broadcast Company? Is that an NHL? Is that like a shoot-off of the NHL? What is this? Oh, those guys? Absolutely. You know them? Can you hook me up? Can you do that? Is that cool? Like, you get my number? You tell me, give me a call? Like, this pure Trump right there. Like, that was... And I love it. Yeah, I'll meet with them. Let's get together. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And I will say this. I have talked to a lot of people in the urban community, the African-American community, and not just Diamond and Silk. And I have talked to several of them that I've known through my years of living in Long Beach, California, and a few other places. And they are cautiously optimistic. They don't like the rhetoric and the sound and some of the stuff that comes out of there. But they're cautiously optimistic that he is going to do something that the Democrats really didn't do, which is actually help them better themselves 4 years from today, comparatively to when you look back at President Obama and you think, well, are you really better off 4, 8 years later? They are cautiously optimistic that there's going to be jobs, that there's going to be less crime, that there's going to be a lot of those things that he talks about. You never know. You just never know. But what a giant craziness that was. I laughed at times. I rolled my eyes at times. But he stood there, right? And he answered questions. And you've got somebody for the first time who is not kowtowing to the press and not kissing their ass. He knows kissing their ass isn't going to get them anywhere. I think there's ways he can handle things a little bit better, but he's Trump being Trump, and this is what we want, right? And here's the other thing. He's getting ready to go do another one of those, you know, kind of town hall rallies, and he's going to do these throughout the country because he feels like that's where the people are. The Beltway is in America. Those are the people who voted for me. I'm going to go out and see them. And you know what? I think that's going to do him good. I really do. Getting out of the Beltway and realizing that little 30-mile round trip, you know, zone there isn't all that America is. The bubble way. I like that. It is a bubble. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Today is a day without immigrants, apparently. We got a day without women coming up soon. We got a day without stuff. I mean, you name it. We got a day without something. But today is a day without immigrants. We'll talk a bit about that. Something was talked about yesterday, and for all intents and purposes, it went completely under the radar. And it shouldn't have. In fact, it should be huge news. But everybody was focusing on everything else. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Oh. Breaking news. FBI said they're not expected to pursue charges against Michael Flynn, meaning that there will be really no investigation. They're just going to move on from this. He is done. He's gone. They probably listened to everything, found out he didn't do anything, but was anything more than overeager in trying to, move into his new position. We move on from it, shall we? I think so. Let's. Today's urban word is... We'll find out in a second.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Your urban word of the day. Let me tell you something. If you travel, and you travel frequently, then you know what this is. Gate. G-A-T-E. Rape. Gate rape. The TSA airport screening procedure. What happened, man? I got stuck in the TSA line. I got gate raped. We've all had it. It's not very nice. And you know who you are, TSA people. Gate rape is your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
Yesterday... Something went by the wayside and not a lot of people talked about it because everybody else was overly excited. We touched on it briefly, but they were overly excited about the Flynn stuff. Oh, my God, this and oh, my God, that. Pentagon may tell President Trump speed up the fight against ISIS, we're going to have to do it conventionally. We're going to have to put boots on the ground. Boom. Combat boots in northern Syria if we're going to get this done. President Trump will have the ultimate say, but he has told all the people in the defense side of his cabinet to get him some sort of plan by the end of this month on how they could hit ISIS head on and speed this up. And yes, they were talking about putting boots on the ground, which would significantly alter the operations going on in Syria, which I also think, too, would cause Russia to take a step back for a second. There might be a two-pronged situation here. But yesterday, that was passed on. Till now, they've only had a small group of special ops people that have operated, just mostly providing assistance and training to people that are fighting ISIS, but that's about it. Conventional units, much larger, bigger numbers, more significant footprint, security protection, both on the air and the ground. This would be an operation. This is not one of those things where hitting, you know, hit them, split them, and quit them. This is something where more boots on the ground to combat ISIS. And how is that going to affect what's going on with Assad and what's going on with Russia? And, I mean, is one of those things where we're going to sandwich ISIS in the middle? Assad and them are going to come from the south. We're going to head in from the north, and we're going to meet in the center and shake hands after we wipe them out. Maybe. But it went by the wayside yesterday, and that's something to pay attention to, especially as we move in closer. And these are the big things that people were worried about. Will Trump be overeager, or will he really listen to what the people in the intelligence community, obviously pro-Trump, not does? He's a little afraid with them and understand. And will he listen to his people in the military side of things, the defense side of things, as far as this goes, and military operations? The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Call the program, 844-DIG-CHAD. For those of you who cannot spell, 844-344-2423. It's National Read a Book Aloud Day. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
And today is a nationwide show of support for immigration called A Day Without Immigrants.
Immigrants and non-immigrants alike are being encouraged to skip work, skip school, and not go shopping.
So the movement has been spreading through social media with supporters like celebrity chef Jose Andres, who plans to close down three of his D.C. hotels today. If you've been to D.C., you know how big of a deal this is, that you don't have a Jose Andres restaurant to go to. Andres pulled out of Trump's D.C. hotel during the campaign after then-candidate Trump made his controversial comments about Mexicans.
The organizers say the goal is to show that without immigrants, there is no America.
Day without immigrants today. Did not know it until late last night. Do not care. We're all immigrants. Why does everybody need to have a special day for something? My God, it's National Almond Day. It's National Read a Book Out Loud Day. It's National If You're an Immigrant, Don't Go to Work Day. At some point in time, can we just say, hey, you know what? It is what it is. We're all Americans. Let's just deal with it. I get it. This president has not been kind to people that are here illegally. I know it's crazy. He has said we need to enforce the law. How dare he say that? How dare he? Look, illegal immigration, I've had enough of. Has it been a somewhat net positive? If you're honest and you look at things and you break it down, yes. Has it gotten to the point, though, where it's become ridiculous? Absolutely. Are there people here from different countries that use us? 100%. But are a good majority of the people here, they want to come here, they want to live their life, they want to do good, and they want to take, you know, advantage of the opportunities that people here in this country have? Yes. Yes. That's true. All of it's true. But I'm just over everybody wanting something. I want a day. Give me a day. I need a day. Give me a day. We all get a day. I want to take a day off. I want to bitch. I want to moan. I want to whine. I'm over it. And apparently, there's going to be a bigger march on May 1st, which, but can I'm going to point this out to you. That right there should not be lost on anybody. The May Day March, if you will. They used to love to do that in Russia in May. That was a big thing for them. Marching, got all their troops in a row, showing the power of the communism and the unity of the people. Just pointing it up. You look at some of these signs that I see popping up. They have a very Russian-y Soviet Union feel to them. Just throwing that out there. A lot of these people that are pissed off and can't stand, you know, this president, they're not in a place where they think, you know, America is a good place. And I'm not a fan of that whatsoever. Because, look, for all of its faults, it's still the best in the world. Right? For all of the faults that America has, we're still the greatest nation on earth. So today, people wandered out. They did what they did. They screamed. They moaned. They did what they did. Some people were out there. I couldn't tell if it was a protest against Trump or if this was something about, look at what immigrants do. And they bring a lot to our country. I'm not sitting here. I don't want to belittle them and what they bring to our country. I that's not what I'm here for. I'm sick and tired of everybody needing a day for themselves. I'm sick and tired of the whole thing is we get told all the time on television and everywhere else how divided we are as a nation, right? We're completely divided. Yet everybody wants to divide themselves up into specific groups and go out and bitch. That does not advance the ball forward. That ain't doing it. It's not. If you think that's advancing the ball, you're fooling yourself. You are absolutely fooling yourself. It is not going to advance the ball. It is not going to do any of those things. Let's hear some of the sights and sounds from around the day. This is Grand Rapids because, you know, they've just got a massive influx of people. I'm sure both legal and illegal immigration going on there. This is Dr. Jose Flores. He owns La Familia Stop and Shop, and he's in favor of people taking the day off.
I think that people who really believe that they are being dealt a discriminatory effect by the Trump administration, you know, have a right and really should go out and protest.
Yeah, look, I'm not against you protesting. I'm not against any of those things. But it just all seems to be that every time I turn around, there's somebody else who's pissed about something and that they specifically, a group that they are specific in who they are or who they recognize, isn't getting the due that they want. I need something. Where is my due? Where is my attaboy? Where is my recognition? People that are here both legally and illegally, they do work their asses off. And so do many other Americans. I put in 70, 80 hours a week. You can ask my producers. I am up till 2 in the morning. I'm up at 5. I'm sending all kinds of stuff. I'm reading stories. I'm doing voiceovers. I am producing, and they are working their asses off. Anthony beats me here in the mornings. We work our butts off. Phil is lazy, but that's okay. We love him because he has other stuff to do. But am I digging a ditch? No. Have I done that in the past? Yeah, you bet your candy ass I have. You bet your candy ass I have. I'm not saying that immigrants don't bring something to this country or to the table. It's great that people want to come here, that people want to move here, that people want to take the opportunity to escape their homelands, which they feel has failed them, for greener pastures and an opportunity to have a dream that their country could not give them. And they look at America as that beacon of hope. That's fantastic. But when you come here, assimilate. When you come here, become part of it. When you come here, stop trying to say, I demand, I demand, I demand, and say, you know what? I want to participate. I want to be a part of. I want to be part of the American dream. Not my own dream in your country with your resources, and your opportunities, but part of the American dream. Let's hear from Teresa. She was in New York, and she did not know this was happening, but she, just her voice alone, just says everything you need to know about the New Yorkers.
All their workers in there, hardworking, respectful people. And Trump is not going to send those people away.
Producer Phil, do you think she's ever smoked a cigarette?
I think she smoked a few, yes.
She's probably only 15, too. That's what's funny.
All those people there that are next door and the hardworking and stuff, you know, Trump ain't going to send them home. There's just good people, the Puerto Ricans and whatnot, you know, who I don't know what they are. They're brown. That's all I know. But then they're good people.
I mean, that's what she sounded like. Oh, my goodness. It is. I get frustrated. I do. I get frustrated because I've been fortunate enough to live around the world and do a lot of really cool stuff. And most people would have loved the opportunities that I've had. And I've had some great opportunities. And I've worked hard for them. You know, when I moved to England, I was English as far as I was concerned. Oh, I was an American, but I was also English. And I loved England. And it was my second home. And I would have fought for it if they wanted me to. I assimilated myself. Now, it was a little bit easier because obviously we speak kind of the same language. That's always the joke over there. England is England and America are only separated by language. But I threw myself into the culture. I watched cricket. I love cricket, actually. I threw myself into all of the things that I possibly could. And I loved it. And I had friends who lived in Europe and they in England, and they moved to Europe to play soccer on the continent, as we used to call it. And they went to places like Germany and Spain and Italy and France. And the ones that were successful were the ones who went to other people's countries and assimilated themselves. They wanted to be Spanish. They learned the language. They threw themselves into the culture. I had a friend, Simon, who went to France, played for a couple really big teams over there. He married a French woman. He learned French. He loved the culture, and he treated it as a second home. And it's really, as you know, you've got your country, but you have your other country, your adopted nation. And that's the way he treated it. That's the way I treated England, is my adopted country. I love it. And it worked. I wasn't homesick. I didn't have troubles. My friends that went to the continent, who decided they were going to be English, but in Germany, and they weren't going to kowtow to learning any of the language or throw themselves into it. They were going to make people come to them. You know what? They struggled, and they came home, and it was miserable. Too many people come here, and they expect America to give them everything. The fact that it's giving you opportunity, and the fact that some of you shouldn't be here at all, legally, but the fact that you're here, and the opportunities are in front of you, and you're having a chance to not only support yourself in this country, but to send money back to your own country, you could at least try to assimilate a little bit. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. Mike, what's happening?
Not much, Chad. So I work in construction here in California, and today I went to 3 different job sites, and not a single person took the day off. And at all 3 job sites, I asked some of the guys, hey, I thought everybody was taking the day off. And they all laughed at me and said, no. We've got more important things to think about. We're here to work. We don't bother ourselves with all this nonsense. You know, they said, yeah, everybody's trying to get them to take the day off. But they were saying, you know what, we're here to work, and we don't want to involve ourselves with all this other, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff.
But, yeah, I was hearing people, you know, McDonald's across the country and restaurants were closing down. But around where I was, I didn't see anybody taking the day off. And only in certain places where activism could happen did you see it, where people were almost in a way like you kind of forced to do it, where, you know, like you got to do it. And, of course, kids walked out of school because anytime you have a chance to go, oh, I'm going to get out of here, I'm going to do it. Hell, I would have walked out too. But the fact is I think by and large most of these people think it's a dumbass move. It's political activism that is forcing the hand. The people that are here that want to work, that they're serious about it, they don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah, and the people that I see on TV, you know, this morning watching the news, the people that I saw that were going to take the day off aren't even, you know, immigrants from other countries. They're like second and third generation. You know, their parents or their grandparents were immigrants, but you know, they felt it to take it upon themselves to take a day off and you know, for their cause. But I didn't see any like true, you know, straight across the border immigrants today taking any time off.
Nope, I appreciate that, man. Thanks so much for your call. And you know, it really is so crazy to think that we think all of these people are worked up this way. But understand this: people look at this now, and they look at Trump, especially activists, as a way for them to further their cause, but also to make an industry out of that. Trump is the, you know, Trump to them is an industry. Just like race is an industry to some people, just like whatever industry is out there where you can use activism, whether it's the, you know, the weather and or whether it's saving animals or what, it is a way for you to be active and also to turn it into an industry. And these people have no idea that these people really don't. They're not out there for their super best interest. They're not out there for any of those things. They're out there because they are a cause du jour and that they could get themselves into a better position and make money. If you came up with a cure for cancer today, what's going to happen tomorrow to all of the cancer doctors, the oncologists, all of those people? They're going to be gone. There is no money in the cure. There's money in the disease. And it's the same thing with this. And these poor people have no idea in many ways they're being used. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the show. Call it as well, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Got a poll up today. Do you think hashtag Day Without Immigrants will have any effect on people's mindsets on legal and illegal immigration? 82% says, no way. 18% says, yes, it will. At Chad Benson Show, go there. Take the poll. Take the poll, if you will, if you will, if you will. She won the lottery at 17. She bought a lot of crap. Euro Millions lottery in 2013. Her name was Jane Park. Before that, she was making about $10 an hour. She won a decent amount of money. Not a ton. But I don't think any of us would say no to it. But she said it made her miserable. First thing she did was she bought a Louis Vuitton bag. Then a Chihuahua named Princess. Then some shoes. Then a purple Range Rover. Pair of boobs. Then 50 more handbags. She says, I shopped all the time. Buying things for the sake of buying things got old instead of finding happiness via, conspicuous consumption. Park uncovered an old maxim preached by holy men for thousands of years and ignored the enthusiastic lottery winners for almost as long. Money can't buy happiness, and large amounts of it have a way of, well, complicating things. The truth is, money can't buy you happiness. It buys you peace of mind. What it can do, though, is make you more of who you already are. If you're an a-hole and you have lots of money, you're an a-hole that's bigger. Case in point, Martin Scorsese, if he worked at a small insurance company and drove a Honda Accord and made $36,000 a year, would probably be a bit of a douche, right? He'd be a tool and a jerk. But the fact that he's got millions makes him a double jerk. If you're a good person, you're even a better person. All it does is buy you peace of mind and boobs, apparently. Which makes everybody else happy. Right? Right, Phil?
Makes me happy.
Chad, you are a sexist, misogynistic, patriarchal jerk. Does that sound about right? Microaggressor and oppressor. Her name is Eugenie Bouchard. She's a professional tennis player. I'm not going to lie to you. She's smoking hot. She tweeted out to her 100,000 or million followers that she knew the Atlanta Falcons were going to win the Super Bowl and they were up 21-0. A guy decided to tweet back at her. At Jeannie Bouchard, if Pats win, we go on a date. She tweeted back, yes. Obviously, we know what happened. The Pats won last night. She fulfilled the date, flying him out there to New Jersey. They went to a Nets game last night, or Brooklyn. They went to a Nets game last night. And he's a good-looking dude, actually. Good-looking dude. She's a good-looking lady. And, well, John and her were quite cozy on more than a few occasions. He said it was the best date ever. And she said there will be a date number two. She said, I got very lucky. Really good guy. How about that? Right? Like, isn't your fear he's 800 pounds and very handsy? Yeah? That would be, you know. But no, he's a good dude. And they're going to go out again. By the way, the Atlanta Zoo also paid off their bet. They bet a Providence Zoo to name an animal after the winning team's quarterback. And thanks to a newly birthed Madagascar hissing cockroach, its name will now be Tom Brady, the Madagascar hissing cockroach. That's not very nice. They should have named like a panda bear or something after. That's not cool, Atlanta. You guys are sore losers still. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson. This here be the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.